Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Omega Leadership Series show. We are here in the studio, Studio G, with Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of 15 books. The book leading our discussion over the last few weeks has been Jesus in Blue Jeans, Everyday Spirituality, a guide to practical everyday spirituality. I love that. Practical everyday. Love it. These two chapters that we're focusing on today, he was willing to be a beginner and honored his appointment, are going to be our focus as we move into this this 30-minute session together. We have with us on the call, I want to say this evening, because normally we are at a 7:30 hour, but we have switched to this hour, so we're delighted to be coming to you a little bit earlier. But with us, we have Beth Taylor of Beth Taylor Coaching. And Beth is a member of the National Leadership Team for Lori Beth Jones. She is a licensed and trained Four Elements trainer and PATH trainer and PATH for Teens. So Beth comes highly labeled and honored here this evening and today with us to share in this segment. So welcome, Beth, from Dallas, Texas.
Hello, Shelley, and hi, Lori Beth. Good to be with you.
Hello. Thank you for being with us.
And thank you, Lori Beth, for being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Lori, as we move into this space, talking about Omega Leader, can you define for us again? We may have some new listeners. To tell us the definition of this term Omega Leader and how you came to this space.
Well, an Omega Leader is someone who combines and transcends the best of the Alpha Leadership style, which is typically the masculine authoritative, and the Beta Leadership style, which typically is considered the feminine cooperative. And it occurred to me that at times, Jesus was very authoritative. Surprisingly, at times, he was extremely cooperative and wanting to be collaborative and co-creating with us. And that's the Beta style. And he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the ultimate. So to me, the Omega leadership style is someone who can demonstrate and is comfortable with and capable with both the Alpha and the Beta style, always looking to a higher power, which is thus the Omega.
I love that. I love that definition. I love talking about these concepts around Omega leadership, around leadership, and really helping listeners and those that we work with and acquaintances, friends, really hold this term in this space on Omega leadership. And some of your products, Lori Beth, have this natural transformational power in them to create Omega Leader. We're excited to be a part of that and to be crafting this concept, fleshing it out with people like Beth Taylor that's with us on the call. Beth, any thoughts around that definition and how it hits you?
Well, you know, when I think about those styles of leadership, I am drawn just to think about the elements and the lens that Lori Beth has given us to see our relationships with others through the lens of the elements. And, you know, leadership is about influencing other people. And when the way we go about doing that, the style with which we do that is so informed by how we're put together in the first place. And to be able to understand that and to reach into the part of leadership that's maybe not quite as natural to us and bring that up to usefulness alongside what is natural would be the step toward becoming an Omega leader.
Well, I want to share Omega leadership in action with the experience of Beth and Paul Taylor that we had at their Dallas Lake House. Was it a year ago, Shelley, or 2 years?
Last year.
Last year. And Beth had kindly offered this incredible lake home that they have for our leadership retreat. And so we had the team members fly in from all over the country, and we all cozied up in our amazing dorm room style cabin retreat. And we had an agenda planned to buy an earth fire, which was every 15 and a half seconds there was something that we had to do.
Now watch it.
Watch it there. And in the midst of this, I just noticed, you know, I was leading part of it and Shelley was leading part of it, and I could see Beth kind of out of the corner of my eye. She would leave and come back, and she was kind of on the phone and she was doing some things. And then about midway through, she came and made the announcement that the pipes for the plumbing had burst, but not to worry, that she had already contacted the next door neighbor and that we would be using the facilities of the next door neighbor's cabin. And she had already, you know, kind of on the ice through. And it was just an amazing time, and it just went off without a hitch. But, you know, being a landlord, those of you who are, when the plumbing bursts, that's when people start to panic, and suddenly everybody got thirsty and had to go to the bathroom. And yes, Beth honored her and just kept that retreat just flowing so smoothly. People still talk about it, and you know, it was just the leadership background, making sure that things moved forward even when the worst had happened or potentially could happen. And to me, Beth demonstrates that in everything that she does that I've been around. So it can be as lofty as these principles that we talk about, and it can be as down to earth as making sure that people have plumbing facilities for their leadership retreat when the pipes burst. So I love examples like that of people who work hard to make things happen for other people. And that is honoring the appointment to honor someone else.
Well, and, you know, Laura Beth, you're right. There's nothing like a house full of guests for two nights out at the lakeside with something going awry, but we step into our appointment, what we have been called to do, and we figure it out as leaders. And then the leadership in the group, the room full of leaders, you know, knew that that was what they needed to adjust to, and then we kept going. So it was a very good time.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
These two principles that we're talking about, keeping your appointment, honoring your appointments, and in a little bit we'll be talking about the, how Jesus is willing to be a beginner, are in this power section of your book, Larry, the Jesus and Blessings. When you think of the word power, in light of the elements, which element represents power?
Well, wind fires, of course.
Sure.
Well, trick question.
Oh, I haven't heard. I'm sorry.
But if we just think of the word power, you know, this book is divided into four segments of poise, praise, power, and
passion.
Passion. So we are in the power section, right? What element are we talking about here?
Well, again, I don't know the answer to the question.
Poise would be water.
Am I being tricked?
Perspective would be which one?
Earth.
Passion.
Fire.
Power.
Wind. Okay, I told you.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, it is interesting that in your opening section, introduction about power, your two examples are about movement. And you talk about the thrust of the aircraft and the movement of your stallion. And, so too is Jesus' transformational power. It's about moving us from captivity to freedom, from darkness to light, from powerlessness to empowered. even, you know, from unbelief to belief.
It's,
so you're right. You know, it's about movement.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, Beth. And I'm thinking about honoring our appointment. And in that chapter, I quote John, where Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you."
Mm.
And that's an interesting switch, because so many people are trying to get people to choose Jesus, you know, choose Jesus. But in this verse, at least, he's saying, "I chose you and appointed you to do great things." And I know that in the many, many seminars and trainings and classes and books that I've studied about leadership, it really begins with personal power and tapping your own personal power before you can really be a leader. And sometimes the simplest things are keeping your appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see someone who is constantly late or is always changing a schedule or never quite makes it to something, what they're really doing is sabotaging themselves. Because by failing to step up to the clock or to the calendar and honor that commitment, they are saying they don't feel worthy. They're not quite ready to lead. So it's a simple thing of keeping an appointment, but when I do coaching, and one of the things sometimes that men can do is be late or forget our calendar, that takes away our power. Because when we don't keep our appointments, we're missing a divine intersection where God is going to meet us and we're going to do something that brings movement in the world.
You know, that's one of the reasons I was trying to point out the division, the natural divisions in this book. You know, as a leader sometimes, maybe you're a water leader or an earth leader, and you may not feel the same kind of our power as a wind might feel. But there are certainly things that you can do as an Omega leader to invoke power and to share power or to recognize power. And I loved your definition there, Beth, about power is movement. When you think about a power generator or windmills that you see over in Palm Desert or Palm Springs that generate, you need movement in order to get that energy. And so I think sometimes as leaders, they think they always have to be busy and always have to be moving, right? But not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes movement just means honoring the appointment. So for the last month, and this one really spoke to me.
Bridget, sister.
The last month, I have been trying to get an appointment with a pretty significant leader at his post, and have scheduled two appointments. He's just totally written in his book and blown off. You know, and so as I look at this person, I'm sure this man is a significant leader in what he does. But wow, you know, we're missing some huge opportunities, like you said, to come to the table just because simply we've missed the date on the calendar. Consequently, I think this guy is maybe a double wind. So he's got a lot of wind going on, a lot of power, generating a lot of power. But wow, missing it, missing the simple piece.
Right, which means we can't get traction with him. And it also brings into question the credibility of if he's this ineffective with an appointment, how effective. You know, what other energy leaks are there, not only in him, but in the system around him, that are going to cause us not to be able to get traction and work together? So, Beth.
Yes, and I was just saying, and what that does is it starts eroding not only his reputation with the people who are trying to get appointments or working around him to try to keep up with his changes, but it also erodes overall credibility. And the reason I brought that up is that it really comes to me that, yes, Jesus said, you know, I have chosen you. And I wonder, you know, to what am I appointed? And if I'm appointed to do great works, to bear fruit, by what authority do I do those things? Well, by the authority of the one who appointed me, obviously. And therefore, when I am not keeping my appointments and letting my yes be my yes, then
right.
I'm eroding the credibility of the one who appointed me also.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
And the time of others, right?
Yeah.
So you're not even really honoring you're not honoring the calendar or the appointment, but you're also not honoring the other person that has taken time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Lack of leadership. And I'm thinking, too, about honoring an appointment. Something happened to me yesterday where sometimes we're appointed to show up to things that sit there and we wonder, who sent me to this? Why am I here? Particularly as a wind, boy, I could get bored in a meeting so fast, and I start looking at the landscape pictures, dreaming about what it would be like to really walk on that beach, and I start writing really tiny in my notebook things that are, you know, things I need to do next week that look like I'm taking notes in the meeting. But about 3/4 of the way in, somebody said something that I heard really with half an ear, and it made me sit up like a lightning bolt. And I realized that this person was holding pure gold in their hand. And I got so excited, and it turned out that we're going to leverage this casual. Someone said, oh, yes, we just did this with someone, and nobody knew about it. I don't even know if it had registered at the upper echelons of the corporation. But this casual conversation by a mid-level manager is going to become a fulcrum for the presentation that we're doing. A huge organization. And so I have to say that I showed up to an appointment that was not thrilling me. It was not an exciting meeting. I was halfway trying to get out of it. But sometimes just showing up, because you never know. When you show up, God's going to show up. And you never know when, in what manner, and how. But by being a good soldier and showing up where we're supposed to show up, that's when the power can happen.
So is that like leading us, great segue into was willing to be a beginner? Is that kind of what you were doing yesterday? Although I'm sure you were not seen as a beginner in that meeting. But tell us a little bit about this story, Beth.
Well, I love this about Jesus. And in the book I talk about, one day it occurred to me that Jesus had a belly button. And people are laughing even now as I say this. But you know, it's significant because when you look at their gods, mythology, they didn't have belly buttons. You know, they sprang forth from the sea or from the mountaintop or something. And here was Jesus with a belly button, which meant he was connected to his mother. He had to learn to be a beginner. Someone had to teach him how to read, how to walk, how to hold a baby lamb, hold a hammer and a nail, drive a nail. And so this willingness to be a beginner is so important to the concept of Omega leadership, because when we start thinking we know it all, then we are going to miss the wonder that a child brings to everything that's new and fresh in the world. And I think sometimes God gives us children so that we see the world through their eyes. When we were at my mother's 90th birthday party, my niece-in-law gave my mother a basket full of gold chocolates. And Jackson, who's just grand, 2 years old, and he saw the box of chocolates, he just went, oh! I mean, he gasped in wonder that someone could get not just one chocolate, but a whole box full of gold chocolate. I mean, and it was so precious. You know, maybe it cost her $2 at the pharmacy or something, but that sense of wonder that leaders have, that Jesus had, when he could notice a baby bird that had fallen to the ground, or notice the widow who put her last mite into the offering plate, that sense of wonder. He often gasped in wonder at our beauty. And I think we forget that sometimes.
Wow. Powerful. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I also think that when we decide that there is nothing else for us to learn in a certain field, a certain area, we consider ourselves the master at that point, and we do lose wonder. instead of looking up and out and around at all that there is to learn and all that we don't understand yet and all there is new to experience in the world, and that's when we feel wonder. And it just depends on where our eyesight, where we're focused.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Because we do tend to think that we know it all, that we've seen it all. And every day in the news and on the internet, I see that we've discovered yet another solar system or another planet, or they've come up with a protein that causes cancer cells to replicate, and this maybe can cure something. There's a constant sense of discovery. And I personally think heaven is going to be that we will be in a constant sense of discovery. And if we're going to have that in heaven, why not have it now?
Hmm.
Why not be jaded and sit in the seat of scoffers and become cynical at government and the church and the people around us, leaders and blah, blah, blah? You know, have we ceased to wonder at what God hath wrought? And in fact, in our very own creation, are we willing to be beginners? So Beth, just thinking about it, what are you doing lately that has put you in a beginner mindset?
Oh, you're gonna ask me this in public.
It's just three of us.
just us girls. You know, I am in a new place, in a sense of a beginner, and that is because I have resisted and not been willing for some time to admit I have no clue how to begin writing what I would like to write, and so it is. It's the willingness to say, I can't do this on my own. It is time for me to enlist the 8 action steps that you developed, Lori Beth, in order to make this happen. It is time for me to, to get the facts about what I do need to learn, and then to really be bold and step forward and start, even though I don't really know how. And then, you know, just also to start finding out who I know who knows, and start learning from the people around me, and, examining enlisting my resources and moving forward, saying, I want to learn this, I have an urge to do it, and I don't know how to do it, so what do you know?
How beautiful. How beautiful.
Wow.
In the book, I talk about a friend of mine named Lisa, who at the time was a nurse with an MBA, so she was doubly valuable to healthcare organizations. And I mean, she would run divisions that were multi-million-dollar divisions. And I was in Dallas one day, and she called me up. She said, "You got it. I want to surprise you. Come over when you're done with your consulting." So I went over to her house, and she went to the piano, and she turned on the light with a flourish, and she got out her piano bench, and she looked up at me, and then she opened the piano, and she put her hands down, and what poured forth from her hands was basically a child's song on a piano, like 3 steps up from da 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 da, but she ended it with a double chord, you know, with a flourish. She hit with both hands, and she was so delighted with herself. And I thought, you know, this is a beginner mindset, that here she's mastered not only, you know, healthcare, but management and business, and even had the certificates to prove it, and yet she was delighted to be learning the piano at a child's level. I just talked to a friend of mine. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think that is rare to find. Because we teach as a culture, we teach exceptional is acceptable, and anything less than that isn't ready for exposure yet.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we start our kids off like that. You know, we start early comparing, well, my kid got teeth before your kid and walked before your child. And, you know, we just need to, as a culture, to embrace the beginnings.
And Beth, that is a beautiful insight, and I think it's a needed one for this conversation and for our society today, that to be willing to do things badly the first time. And
the fifth time, and the tenth time.
You know, anything worth doing is worth doing badly the first time. And I've had, I have a friend who is just almost a critic, and whenever I write a book, she will just pick to death the typos in the book. And even though we, you know, the publishers have 16 proofreaders or whatever, typos are put there to keep us humble. And yet she has yet to write her first book because she wants everything perfect. And I know when I write a book and when a book is released, there's going to be something in it that's not perfect. And yet I keep on going because it's, I mean, have you ever seen a perfect apple? Or have you really ever seen an, or have you ever really seen an imperfect apple?
Right.
Well, no. I've seen some apples I wouldn't want to eat. Maybe.
But did they start out? I mean, it's the beauty of creation that we just keep going. We have the child's mind that, you know, just because we stumble doesn't mean we sit down and stop. We keep getting up and getting on, getting going. And I think that's the essence of Omega Leadership, that willingness to be a beginner. And I think it's fresh in every relationship, too. That's what keeps relationships solid with clients and with I have a client that I just adore, and we've been together 3.5 years. And every time I go, I learn something new about them. And every time I go, they learn something new about me. And you'd think that, well, 3.5 years into a client relationship, you'd have it all together, or you should. But it's a constant discovery of what we can do together that makes it so powerful. It goes back to honoring that appointment and the willingness to do things new.
Right, so we just have a few more minutes here, 2 or 3 minutes left on this show. And I believe one of the things that I love about this series that we're talking about and that I'm hoping eventually will become a curriculum out of Lori Beth's work called the Omega Leadership Series. But you can begin as a leader today, you know. An Omega leader is someone that understands how to take the alpha and the beta and mix it together and create this space where beginners can walk and where honoring a simple thing like an appointment can happen. So I love that about this. I love the concepts, the principles in this work, Lori Beth, that that anybody can step in to being a leader. You don't have to graduate from West Point in order to be a leader, although there are some great leaders that come out of West Point. But start today. And become that Omega leader that you're called to be. But that 90 seconds, Lori Beth and Beth Taylor, go ahead.
So Beth, give us a 1 minute summary, and I'll close off the last 30 seconds about what you have learned about the Omega leadership style that you would want to share with readers.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that I have learned is that everyone has leadership within them, that we are all called into leadership, and that is not just the authoritative leader that we see up in front of us that has that title, but the teacher, the mother, the friend, anyone who points another, influences another, and moves in another's life is a leader, and that is an appointment that we are called to keep.
Ooh, beautifully said. Beautifully said. Shelley says I have 29 seconds. Shelley and I had some business in London this summer, and we went to the birthplace of Methodism, which was John and Charles Wesley's home. where Susanna raised them, and I have a postcard of his crib, the crib that rocked John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and I keep it on my desk. She influenced a young leader who was willing to be a beginner. She honored her appointment for power.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening, Beth. Great show. Mm. Look forward to seeing you next month in Dallas.
Thanks so much, Beth.
All right.
Enjoyed
it. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.